KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Happy trails to you.
All righty. Once again, it is time for another edition of Happy Trails as we keep our eyes on the prize, a regional trail system all throughout Humboldt County. One of the things we do is check out how other communities are faring with their efforts on getting trails. Today, we're looking at Santa Cruz and their Rail with Trail efforts. And we've got Bruce and Emily both on the phone with us this morning. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning. Indeed. Bruce, I didn't get your title.
So I am chair of Friends of the Rail Trail, okay, the Santa Cruz organization.
Fair enough. So Santa Cruz, a lovely community. This is an interesting thing because what you've got going there is you guys actually are purchasing the old railroad right away to put in not only a trail, but you want to do some rail service as well, right?
Yes, that's correct. And people have wanted to do this for a long time. It's got more twists and turns than a mountain railroad, but that's the hope. And it's a little unusual. I think there's a long history of people putting in trails. The Rails to Trails Conservancy has hundreds of these around the country, but rails with trails are a little less common.
That is true. I assume the corridor is wide enough to accommodate both?
Well, in most of its length, but not all of it. So there will be some gymnastics to be done.
And can you give an update to listeners of where this line is? It's pretty remarkable that it's all along the coast.
Well, that's true. So Santa Cruz County is a narrow and skinny county. It's actually the second smallest county in California after San Francisco. And the rail line runs 32 miles. It starts in Watsonville at the south end of the county and makes its way up to Davenport on the north coast. And it's almost all of it is quite close to the coast. When it gets close to Watsonville, it goes further inland. But I would say more than three-quarters of it is within half a mile of the ocean.
Wow.
And how did these discussions get started with having more of a rail with trail in this corridor, and what has been the use over the years of this rail corridor?
Well, the rail corridor is very old. It was built in 1875, 1876, and the community was largely settled via the rail line, and probably like Humboldt County, the Santa Cruz County history is largely resource extraction. Lumber. It was largely lumbering in the late 19th century, and you needed trains to take it out. So there were lots of little lumber railroads that connected to a feeder railroad that took lumber out of the county.
And of course, as the resources dried up, the use went down, right?
That's correct. And then there were lots of passenger rail also operated. There's some rail lines in Santa Cruz County that are no longer used. There used to be one that went from Santa Cruz through about 2.5 miles worth of tunnels and came out in Los Gatos and went up to San Jose. And up until the 1940, about 4,000 people per summer weekend day came on trains to enjoy Santa Cruz.
What kind of condition are the rails in at this point?
Well, good enough to carry freight trains slowly. It's called Class 1 in railroad parlance. So I think that means a maximum speed of 15 miles an hour. So it's not high-speed rail.
Okay. So now, how did you come about this concept of actually purchasing this railroad for these purposes?
Well, 20 years ago, 22 years ago, there was a Proposition 116, which was to foster passenger rail in California, and that was a bond issue that was worth, I think, between $1 and $2 billion. And many counties put together projects. They had to include passenger rail, and went to the state for their money, and Santa Cruz was last in line, and we made it under the wire by about 24 hours, I think.
Wow. And the concept of the rail with trail, when did that get put into the mix?
Well, I think that's a little more recent. I've only been involved with this for about 6 or 7 years, and I've only lived in Santa Cruz 9 years, and the history goes way back before that. I think people were interested in buying it at least 20 years ago and possibly starting passenger rail that might connect to the San Francisco Bay Area or to Monterey. Various proposals have been floated. And then other people wanted to tear the tracks out and have it be just completely a traditional rails to trails. And so it's been through a lot of incarnations.
And have there been discussions of having a trail within the right-of-way when it has been in private ownership?
Yes, because I think either Southern Pacific first owned it, then they sold it to Union Pacific, and there were discussions going on with both of those back probably 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's interesting just since up here on the North Coast we've had a rail corridor in public ownership for quite some time now, but I definitely have heard stories from other places in the country where it's a lot more difficult to work with a private railroad for rail with trail scenarios. But I'm just really impressed that the equivalent of HCOG in Santa Cruz Regional Transportation Commission, is really taking the lead on purchasing the rail corridor. And just, Bruce, you were talking about the Prop 116 funds, and it seems like they've also combined that with kind of STIP funds, kind of the more state funding towards transportation projects that kind of all of the regional transportation agencies work with. And I'm just impressed with it, the deal of $14.2 million for purchasing this whole really coastal front property for 32 miles. I was really impressed with that.
Well, if you look at other purchase deals around the nation, the price per mile is pretty good, even not considering that it's coastal property.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty good deal even as real estate. It's about 300 acres of real estate for $14 million, and for coastal property, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, has this purchase been made, or is it in the process at this point?
It's in the process, so it requires, since there's what's called a common carrier obligation, and this is something enforced by the feds, and if there is freight being run on a line, then provisions have to be made when a line is sold that somebody will continue to carry the freight. And the freight obligations have diminished a lot. There used to be a cement plant in Davenport that required about 3 or 4 good-sized freight trains per week to supply, and that has shut down. It was run by Cemex. And so there's still freight trains required, but it's much lower frequency, maybe once a week, if that, and smaller ones. So what has to happen is a carrier has to be found who will take over these freight obligations.
Okay. Now, what kind of support are you getting in the community for this project?
Well, quite a lot, and that's been the role of the Friends of the Rail Trail group, that we have mobilized community support. We've held symposia. We've written lots of articles to the local paper. We have caused businesses and others to write letters in support of the purchase, and so we pushed for this on several levels. First, on the local level, to convince the citizenry that it was, a lot of people didn't even know what it was or what it could be used for, so it was an education process. And then we had to help the RTC see the value in it, what could become of an old rail line. And then ultimately, we had to help the RTC convince the CTC in Sacramento to pony up the money to buy it.
Wow, quite a process there.
And how was your political support over the years in really making this happen and really to have that support at the state level, too?
Well, I think that we started out as being kind of a bunch of ragged hippies, but became more mainstream as we went along and gradually convinced people that this wasn't a crazy idea, that it might be a sane and prudent thing to keep a rail trail or keep a rail line intact rather than have it condemned and sold off piece by piece, that it was worth more as an asset to the whole county. And we've gradually swayed public opinion. And polls have shown that doing something with the rail line, a trail and or passenger rail, is a very high priority. It actually ranks just behind fixing potholes, I think.
Mm.
That's fantastic. Now, this will be once this thing is put in, a very nice long trail, not just a little piece, but a really long long trail. I imagine it'll be heavily used. Are there other trails in the Santa Cruz area that are currently in use?
Not rail trails. There are other trails. There's beachfront trails mm-hmm. on West Cliff and East Cliff, so two sides of the San Lorenzo River. There's also trails along the levee that contain the San Lorenzo River. And then there's a lot of dirt trails in the state parks and on the UC Santa Cruz campus. So there's plenty of trails, but not really rail trails.
Gotcha. And so the question comes, are those trails pretty heavily used? Is there a pretty good bike community in the Santa Cruz area?
There is a very active and involved bike community here. In fact, Friends of the Rail Trail grew out of a human-powered advocacy group called People Power that's probably about 20 years old and advocates for bike and pedestrian-friendly projects.
Wow, that is really wonderful. So with such an active community there, as soon as this thing comes into fruition, I imagine it'll be pretty heavily used.
Yes, I think that we might actually have to have traffic reports in the morning.
So let me ask you this.
Traffic says that somebody has a flat on Seabright Avenue.
Gotcha. Now, you were saying that there are many parts of this that are wide enough to accommodate a rail and end trail, but some parts aren't. And that's one of the concerns that we have here, especially on the Bay Trail. They're advocates to just make it a rail with trail. But at least here, there's many parts of it that would be they're very too narrow. How are you overcoming that issue in areas where it's really not wide enough to accommodate both?
Well, the plan is to try to fit as much as possible, which is the vast majority. But there are places where we'll probably have to divert the trail onto city streets. Of course, this is a very densely populated area. The central part of the county has densities greater than Seattle or Portland or Oakland. So it's very urban, even though you wouldn't think of it in a small place, a small county with a population of 250,000. Mm-hmm. But it's very densely packed in the central part.
Okay.
So there's plenty of streets to choose from and plenty of users with easy access to the trail. We figured that just about half the population of the county lives within a mile of the rail line.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, that wouldn't really work in our case, since really the Bay Trail that we're looking at pretty much parallels the 101, and diverting it onto the 101 would pretty much defeat the purpose.
Yeah, that would be a buzzkill.
That's right. So I guess we'll have to look at other things as well. Now, currently, your rail line has been in constant use. It actually has not been not used. It's just been the use has been lowered, and you're just taking over the use of it. In our case, we haven't had any rail service on our lines for about 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at a different situation.
You're contemplating the possibility of adding rail service now. Is that correct?
Well, there are people who want that to happen. It's very controversial because there is really no need for it. There's no way to have freight go down to the Bay Area from here because the Eel River Canyon is unusable as far as sending freight down that. They said the cost of restoration on that would be $500 million, which I think in today's money world, $500 million means no.
Well, I think that's correct because the cost of restoring the tunnels and the rail through the mountains, well, the right-of-way has all been sold off, here in Santa Cruz was estimated to be $1 billion in the 70s. So
right.
That meant no.
Yes.
So are you thinking of tourist rail or?
Well, that has been the question. There's some people who want to have like a it wouldn't really go anywhere. It would just kind of be like a little tourist train around the bay. There's some thoughts about that. Currently, the tracks themselves are in such disrepair, they would have to actually be replaced. You can actually look under them in many places.
Mm-hmm.
There was a good study done showing that the cost of a rail with trail versus just putting in a trail, it was about $5 million versus about $35 million. Big difference.
That is a big difference.
Yes. So
that is different here because we do connect to the larger rail network. If you go just across the river from Watsonville, where the spur ends, it joins the main north-south line, and Amtrak trains go by there,
right.
And they don't stop because there isn't a station, but Monterey County, where that junction lives, they're contemplating building a station there. So there would be use in having passenger rail because it would connect you to the rest of the state, the rest of the network.
Right. In fact, I think most people here would love to have a passenger train that would go down to the Bay Area, but that's just not feasible. Unfortunately, the terrain is such that's pretty much been taken off the table, and that's even by the North Coast Railroad Authority saying we just can't go through the Eel River Canyon. It's not doable.
Yeah.
So, at this point, it's kind of a stalemate. It's not being used. People who are the train enthusiasts want to see the train restored. Trail people saying, we want a trail now. We can have this right now. And it's kind of at a stalemate at this point. It's good to see at least somewhere in the state where there's some movement somewhere.
Well, we've been at this for a long time.
Right.
These things move at glacial speed. So we're wondering, we take bets whether we're going to see this in our lifetimes
right.
or not. And I hope that I get to ride on the trail before I'm too old, which is a long time from now.
Yeah, I've had that same thing. Yeah, it's like I'm a big bike enthusiast myself. I used to ride here into Ferndale. It's a 40-mile round trip regularly until I got hit riding on the 101 and kind of put that off the table and say, I would love to see a trail come back, and I'd love to be able to ride on that, but not sure if I'll see that in my lifetime, but we'll keep the pressure on, I guess.
Well, and our trail, you mentioned $5 million for your trail. I think putting the engineering along the rail line is going to cost a lot more than $5 million. We actually have some seed money to get started from Sam Farr's efforts, and I think it's about $7 million. And it sounds like a lot, but that will only do a fraction because
right.
we have a lot of bridges. There's a lot of they would need to have trails cantilevered on this path, cantilevered on the side. There's a fair amount of digging and concrete and all of that. It's not just a one pass with a bulldozer type of deal.
And the one thing I feel like is as soon as you start to construct a portion of the trail, that brings so much more momentum, not only community support, but momentum from other funding sources of saying, this is actually happening and we're actually making progress, and just being able to start by connecting communities and being able to have, trail segments in certain parts of the more highly populated areas just gets, a lot more momentum. And that's been, up here locally with the city of Arcata, they've had a rail with trail design for kind of north of Humboldt Bay towards about a third of the way around the bay. And they're looking to, probably have funding for construction for the portion just north of the bay here in the next 2 years. They have full plans and designs, and I feel like once that is constructed, that's just going to really up the momentum because people are going to see, wow, this gets us, to Samoa Boulevard from North Arcata. Why don't we keep going, around the bay? So
yeah, absolutely.
I think you're right about
builds
that.
Builds that momentum.
The best sales job is done by a trail, not by a person talking about a trail.
No kidding.
That's right. I know some people are saying, well, it's a trail to nowhere. It's only going partway around the bay. But getting it partway around the bay gives the impetus to get it the rest of the way around the bay. And I think you're absolutely right with there, Emily. I guess that is... I'll be very happy to see that happen. And even though if only it's just going to be going to the Bray Cut part of the bay, I will absolutely use it just to give it a shot. Because it's a beautiful spot.
Yeah. And I have one other question for you, Bruce. I was wondering about just the Transportation Commission's thoughts on long-term operations and maintenance, and if there's been more of kind of joint discussions with the county and the cities for maintaining different portions of the trail, or if the Transportation Commission is going to take on that role?
I think that's still preliminary. They're doing the engineering design of the trail now. Mm-hmm. This will take about another year. There's a lot of public input to that. But this is one of the roles that Friends groups play, is maintaining, adopt a trail. Mm-hmm. Friends groups like us would work with cities to have the kind of maintenance that could be done by volunteers.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we've also we've had some similar groups, the trail stewards through Friends of the Dunes and the Humboldt Trails Council have taken on that role with some trails here locally, including the Hammond Coastal Trail. But really, we've had. Just a lot of jurisdictions have the interest and the momentum in moving forward, but there definitely is the question about, how are we going to pay to maintain this once we, have this corridor or once we've built this trail? And so just that's been a lot of the discussion here locally and trying to think creatively about other ways to fund those type of maintenance efforts.
Are you in contact with the Rails to Trails Conservancy? They have an office in San Francisco.
Yeah, we've a lot of us up here have been speaking with them, and we're actually going to have we just got word that the city of Fortuna is going to be hosting a bicycle and pedestrian kind of infrastructure and safety and design workshop coming up here, and they just got a proposal funded for that, that the Rails with Trails Conservancy will be up here leading that workshop.
That's wonderful.
I'm really excited for the city of Fortuna to be leading that, and they had a lot of support kind of in this whole region for being that the lead on that. We'll talk about that here on Happy Trails a little bit later.
That's right.
We've definitely have been working with Rails to Trails over the years.
Well, they held a workshop here in December, and it was extremely worthwhile. So they have a lot of information and common practice information about other rail systems, trail systems, and how much it costs to maintain them and how it's done. And there's a lot of variance. It can be done in some cases very cheaply. In other cases, it's completely done professionally as much more expensive. But there's a whole spectrum.
Absolutely. Yeah, they have been really instrumental and showing how it's been done. Like, this way we don't have to reinvent the wheel as we look forward to a trail system here in Humboldt County. Unfortunately, we are pretty much out of time. Emily, is there anything that that's coming up that folks need to know about real quick?
Can't think of anything major, but for next week, we should be talking about have a Bike Month preview, because Bike Month will be coming up in a month, in May, and we're going to be talking about an opportunity for youth to get involved. So stay tuned for that next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. Bruce, thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
Well, thank you, and happy trails.
Indeed.
Thank you, Bruce.
Uh-huh. And thank you, Emily. And this conversation, as all conversations on Happy Trails, will be podcast at iTunes and at khum.com. Just look up Happy Trails.
Happy Trails.